Last Sabbath, we started a new series of sermons looking at God's description of His character through the I Am statements in the Old Testament. The rationale for this series is because of this statement in the book Christ Object Lessons. Page 416 says, "The last message of mercy to be given to the world is a revelation of His character of love." Last week we looked at the statement, "I am concerned." The Old Testament story where we find this "I am" statement was a story of Moses being called to go and deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. In the New Testament, we find this statement being illustrated in the ministry of Jesus. We looked at the story of the woman at Jacob's well, the demoniac living in the tombs, the story of Zacchaeus. If it is true that the last message to go to the world is a message of the true loving character of God, then it is also true that we must understand that message ourselves, because we are the representatives who are to carry that message to the world. Today our text comes from the book of Exodus again, where Moses is now leading the children of Israel from their Egyptian slavery to freedom through the desert to the promised land. God is giving instructions on how they are to no longer live in slavery and bondage, but to live in freedom and in true loving character as He wants them to become. There's something very interesting, well worth reading, but we're only going to look at three verses of Exodus 22 this morning, where He gives this instruction. Exodus 22, starting verse 25. "If you lend money to one of My people among you who is needy, do not treat it like a business deal. Charge no interest. If you take your neighbor's cloak as a pledge, return it by sunset, because that cloak is the only covering your neighbor has. What else can he sleep in? When they cry out to Me, I will hear, for I am compassionate." Here God is describing for us what it will look like when we are living His loving character in the world. Here we find not only some interesting principles for living, but another of the characteristics of God's loving character. God tells us, if you loan a church member some money, don't charge him interest. Don't try to make money on this fellow member. Do it because you want to help or because you have compassion for them. He says, if you take their cloak as security, give it back to them before it gets cold, because you don't want to make them suffer from the cold. Back in those days, many of the poor had only one garment. They wore it as a coat in the day. They used it as a blanket at night. He says, if you take their coat away from them, give it back to them by sunset so they have something to keep them warm at night. They can't afford anything more. God says, if you mistreat one of His children, He will hear, because He is a compassionate God. What does that word compassionate mean? Many of you, it's not your mother tongue, so let's get some definition. Merriam-Webster's dictionary says, compassion is having or showing compassion. Yeah, all right. Or good-hearted, kind, tender, warm-hearted. Do you understand that better? Someone who has a good heart, who really cares, is compassionate. This is the characteristic of our God. Clear back, as the children of Israel were coming out of slavery in Egypt, God tells them that He is a compassionate God. The psalmist recognized over and over and over the compassion of God. There's many, many texts in the Psalms. Let's look at just two of them. Psalm 103:13, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Again, that word fear is not be afraid of, but who honor him. Psalm 116:5, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. In Christ's ministry, we find this compassion illustrated for us in the life of Christ. Matthew 15:29 says, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went upon a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. They praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been here 3 days, and they have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on their way. You remember the story, don't you? What motivated Jesus? He says, I have compassion for these people. They have been listening to me now for 3 days. You listen for half an hour, and I have compassion and let you go eat. They have been listening for 3 days, and I am certain as Jesus was, that what little food they may have brought with them was long gone. Jesus had compassion for them. The disciples respond, what are we supposed to do about it? We're out here in this wilderness place. We can't go around the corner to Vallarta or to Vons or Ralph's. We can't go buy them food. And even if we could, we wouldn't have the money to do it with. It would cost a fortune to feed this crowd. Remember, as I've said before, if God shows you a problem, it's because he expects you to do something about that problem. But I've also told you, if you step out in faith to meet the problem, he will supply the resources to meet it. And here is a beautiful illustration of that. Jesus asked the disciples, what do you have? And they look around and they come back and they said, we have 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. What's that going to do with this crowd? Jesus tells them, set the people down. He takes the 7 loaves and the few fish, and he blesses it. He gives it to the disciples and tells them, feed the people. And as they hand it out, there's always more in their hand. They don't run out. It keeps multiplying. They hand and they hand and they hand. They hand it out, they hand it out, they hand it out. They keep handing it out. Right back to the picture, the illustration we've used so much this year. The pitcher, cup, saucer, plate. As you receive from Christ and as you overflow and give to others, you will always have enough to give. Could the disciples have done this without Christ? No. Because Jesus himself said, without me you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. But as Christ showed them the need, he also provided the resources. At the end of the meal, the Bible says they picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and leftovers. It also says there were over 4,000 people that were fed that day. This illustrates, of course, for us Jesus' words, I have compassion for these people. And then he fed them. Not just a snack. He fed them till they were filled and had no need for more. So much so there were 7 basketfuls left over, much more than they began with. In Luke the 15th chapter, Jesus tells one of his famous stories to illustrate again his compassion and the compassion of his Father God. It's perhaps one of his best-known stories. He actually tells three stories there in Luke about things that were lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We're going to look for just a moment at the lost son. You remember the story? One of the sons comes and says, "Dad, I'm tired of living under your rules and regulations. I'm tired of your restrictions. I'm tired of this place. I want to go live by myself. I want to go on my own. I want my inheritance." Now, fortunately or unfortunately, there was a provision that allowed this to happen. A child could come to his father and say, "I want my inheritance now." But if he did that, he was literally no longer a son. He no longer had any right to any future increase in his father's estate. He no longer could claim anything from his father. He was literally on his own. And the father agreed to let him do it. I'm sure that it cost the father immensely. I'm sure that he probably had to liquidate part of his estate to give it to him. But he did it because he loved his son. The son goes away and he wastes it all. Squanders it on wine, women, and song. Soon discovers there's nothing more left. It's all gone. And now what does he do? He ends up going to a farmer and begging for a job. And the farmer says, "All I can do is let you feed the hogs. And you can eat with them if you like too." He's out there living with the hogs. And he remembers his father. He remembers the compassion of his father for their hired help. And finally, in desperation, he decides to go to his father and ask him to hire him on as a servant. Let's pick up the story there in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 20. "So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine who was dead is alive again. He who was lost is found.' And so they began to celebrate." This, once again, an illustration of God's compassion. The father in this story, of course, is God. The son? Well, that's you and me. We've all squandered God's resources. We've all wasted it. We're all destitute. We cannot care for our own needs. But we have a compassionate God who looks at us. He knows our needs. He responds in compassion and forgives us and accepts us back unconditionally into the family. Does he have to? No. But because of his character of love, that's what he does for us. God sent his son Jesus to pay the price for our rebellion. He died on a cross to make it possible for him to forgive us and to accept us back into the family. There are numerous messages, actually, in Christ's ministry of his compassion. But let's look at just one more quickly this morning. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." Notice carefully what it says there. It says Jesus was going everywhere Doing what? Teaching in their synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing their diseases and sicknesses. But that's not what called forth his compassion. What called out his compassion? It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Kind of sounds like our world today, doesn't it? Aren't there a lot of harassed and helpless people in our communities who don't seem to have a leader to follow? In fact, it's almost an epidemic worldwide, isn't it? The supposed leaders of our countries are not leading today. No, I'm not speaking just about the United States. I don't care where you look today. The leaders of our world are not leading. They're not. The world is like a bunch of sheep without a shepherd. It's chaos out there. Masses of people in our world are harassed and helpless. Unemployment is still running very, very high. People are still losing their homes, their jobs, their livelihoods, their way to survive. And I can see God looking on with great compassion as he sees the conditions of our current events. And I'm intrigued with what Christ goes on to say. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." I want to share just a couple more statements out of the book, Christ Object Lessons, that I'm studying as I'm preparing this series of sermons. Page 418, 419 of Christ Object Lessons, it says, "But no man can impart that which he himself has not received. In the work of God, humanity can originate nothing. No man can by his own effort make himself a light bearer for God. It was the golden oil emptied by the heavenly messengers into the golden tubes to be conducted from the golden bowl into the lamps of the sanctuary that produced a continuous bright and shining light. It is the love of God continually transferred to man that enables him to impart light into the hearts of all who are united to God. By faith, the golden oil of the love flows freely to shine out again in the good works, in the real and heartfelt service for God." Jesus told his followers to pray that God would send out people to bring in the harvest. But that can only happen when his people are filled and empowered from him. We can't do it without him. Down just a little bit further. Page 419, "There is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and character. There is nothing that the world needs so much as the manifestation through the humanity of the Savior's love. All heaven is waiting for channels through which can be poured the holy oil to be a joy and blessing to human hearts." This excites me. Did you catch the significance of that statement? There is what? There is nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and his character. Now that's a powerful statement. There is nothing. How much is nothing? There's nothing that Christ desires so much as agents who will represent to the world his spirit and character. So what is more important to God than sharing the good news of his character and love? Nothing. So what should be the most important thing for us to be doing? Receiving from him so that we can live for him and overflow his character of love to the world that is so desperately in need of it. That is what God wants more than anything else. You can know all about the doctrines and the teachings of the Bible. You can know all about the second coming of Christ. But if you really want to be doing what Christ wants more than anything else, you must be receiving from him and overflowing his love to the community you live in. That's what he wants more than anything else. We must be daily sitting at the feet of Jesus, receiving from him so that we can pass it on to others. May we spend time today, tomorrow, this week, next week, receiving from God so that we in turn can be vessels to pass it on. There's no greater privilege. There's no higher joy. There's nothing that God wants more than for us to overflow his love to the world. Father, we thank you that you are a compassionate God and that you are moved with intense desire when you see the suffering in our world. And that your greatest desire is to alleviate that suffering through the ministry of your children. Father, we come to you today with open hearts, asking you to fill us and use us for your glory, to finish the work so we can go home and be with you for eternity. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.